The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to Journey into the Light, Chapter 2, a program which strives to bring about awareness and awakening, the practice of living in the present to feel joy, to feel reconnected to loved ones and your future. Now, here's your host, Psychic Little T and Nashville's astrologer, Jennifer Green.
Everybody, I am Psychic Little T, and what a wonderful 2 weeks that we had off for vacation. So now we're back. We have a lot of guests the next couple of weeks. We're going to introduce you shortly to the newest guest tonight that's going to be on our show. But I want to introduce my co-host Jennifer Green, and of course our wonderful producer Shock, and then our wonderful guest, David Arison. So I'm going to hand this over to Shock so he can read your bio, and you guys can call in for a free reading at 267-436-4876. Take it over, Shock.
All right, David Arison has been a professional astrologer for over 20 years. He is also a holistic energy healer, working with the modalities of Reiki and integrated energy therapy. He's also a professional tarot reader and a certified hypnotherapist. David uses astrology as a tool for self-awareness and transformation. He will enter into a dialogue with you in order to discover exactly how you are expressing and manifesting your chart in your life, and then base the reading on this knowledge, giving you practical and usable information, as well as a deeper understanding and acceptance of your true nature. Astrological readings can help you understand misfortunes in your life and move beyond them, and most importantly, birth chart readings can give you the objectivity and emotional distance that enables you to see and understand yourself clearly. Now, let's bring in David Arison as tonight's guest on Journey into the Light.
Hello.
Welcome, David. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So let me see. The first question that I want to ask you is, like everybody asks, how long you been doing this?
The astrology?
All the above. Like, if I was to call you for an interview, for a reading, do you sit and say, okay, do you want the astrology or do you want the birth chart?
Well, yeah, people usually know whether they want astrology or tarot.
Okay.
And they can come to me in person and get the reading, or I can do it over the phone.
Nice. Oh, awesome. I know that we had talked off air, and you said that if they do the birth chart, it's about an hour.
Yeah, at least. Sometimes I go 2 hours or longer because I'm very thorough. And I try to give people everything that they need. You know what? I'm getting an echo here.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Is there any way to fix that?
Do you have any idea?
I don't have the proper wrenches. It might help if you go ahead and turn your camera off, because nobody can see you anyway.
Okay.
The camera tends to chew up a lot of bandwidth, and that may...
Okay, that's better, yeah.
A lot better.
Is that good now?
Okay.
All right.
So what was the question again?
I just kind of want to let the listeners know exactly what you offer, so when they call, I know that you're also a hypnotherapist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, people, when they call for astrology, you know, they get a reading, pretty much what your father just described in my bio. That's pretty much how I approach astrology. I want to give people, you know, very concrete information that they can use in their life. Mm-hmm. not just generalities that could apply to anybody. And I'm very thorough. I like to, you know, give them as much information as I possibly can to help them, you know, make their lives better and make the kind of changes they want to make. So that's why it takes an hour, sometimes more. And then tarot takes less time usually. But still, you know, people have questions about things that are, you know, going wrong in their life or things that they want to change in their life. And I do predict the future, but I don't believe that the future is fixed. I believe that the future is fluid, and what's going to happen in the future is based on what's happening now. So I'll tell the people, and this is what I think is most likely to happen based on, you know, everything we just talked about, everything that's happening now. And so far, I haven't been wrong. So I must be doing something right.
So, Jen, do you have any questions for him or...
I do. Hey, y'all, thank you for being here. Thank you for having me again. I've missed you guys. I've realized how much I truly miss Para-X Radio, the number one show. We are the number one show on Para-X Radio. So if this is your first time here, please go ahead and like and subscribe and follow, because we're here every Thursday night here live on the show, making breakthrough readings and having incredible guests. So thank you, David, for coming on the show again.
You're welcome.
And I do have a quick question. I like to pick on people's. I do have a question for you. I like to pick on people's brains a little bit.
Yep.
So my question is, what inspired you to begin to do what you are doing? When did you know this is what you're supposed to do?
When I was a kid, probably. I mean, I was always interested in, I guess, what you could call the paranormal. You know, I really loved ghost stories when I was a kid. And I remember one time going into a supermarket and seeing a little book about casting spells. And I must have been like 10 years old. And I remember thinking, oh, I know how to do that, you know?
Nice.
And then, you know, later on when I got into witchcraft or Wicca, whatever you want to call it, I had, you know, past life memories of having done spells and spell casting and things like that. And that led me into hypnotherapy, the whole past life thing, because I had a lot of past life experiences and I wanted to be able to, you know, to do that for other people. And also, you know, just to help people. I mean, everything I do really is based around healing, helping people, you know, have better lives and be happier and things like that.
Absolutely. So I got a question for you. Another question for you. I as well do hypnotherapy. And when I was in my training, a light bulb kind of went off in my head. And I'm curious about you. If you kind of put the two and two together of spells and hypnotherapy kind of connect together to magic words, how just the language in itself is magical for healing. I seen it and I was like, and I heard it and I said, this is real. This is truly, really magic. And I could see back in older times how they definitely called it witch work, the devil's work, so to say. But there's definitely an energy of healing in the words itself, in the language itself, which is magical. Do you agree with that?
I do agree totally. And I've come to the conclusion that a lot of magic is really self-hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're giving yourself post-hypnotic suggestions with the words that you say. And all the things that practitioners of magic do to get themselves into the right headspace, you know, drumming or dancing or whatever, is really just putting themselves in a hypnotic trance.
Absolutely.
I totally agree with you. I came to that same conclusion a long time ago.
Yep. And it was a very beautiful moment in my mind. I said, this is just incredible. So it kind of connected everything, just kind of connected in a line. You know, why the inset, you know, even from lighting a candle is hypnotizing.
Sure.
And it's to get inside that mindset where you are open to receive. So I do. It is truly a magical experience. Thank you for what you do. I definitely feel your vibe. It's strong. You're the healer, seeker, teacher energy with the pure intention behind it.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, if you would like since tarot card readings, probably the 3 tarot card would be the shortest. If you would like a reading, then pick up your phone and give us a call at 267-436-4876. That's 267-436-4876. I'll bring you right online, and please, when I pick up the phone, and just wait until I bring you into the call. Don't assume that you're not there by going, hello. Then I might think you're my African gray parrot.
So, Tammy, I thought you were going to tell me what my father wants to tell me.
I'm glad that you brought that up. Okay, let me kind of get the listeners up to date. When David and I were talking privately on Skype before the show, we had video calls so David could get used to Skype. He's brand new to Skype. And we hung up, and I said, boy, you have a lot of energy around you. He said, do I? And I said, who was the person with the lower back problems? And he said, my father. And ever since then, his father has been waiting in the wings to speak to David. And David had gave me some information that he never got to say goodbye to his father. And his father's reply in my head was, it wasn't meant for you to see. Oh. So, let me say this. When I do readings for clients or people in general, I ask the spirits to give information that will help them heal. Mm-hmm. So, take that information, but also when you and Jen were talking, the number 80 was very vivid in my head, and then the number 86 was very vivid. So I don't know what them numbers mean to you.
Not really, because my father was 93 when he died.
Okay.
So I don't know.
It could be numbers that you could switch around. I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate anything, but these were the numbers that he gave you. And
really?
As you know, he's very much around you. And he seems to be a joker because he keeps telling me to hurry up with the show. And I just kind of laugh at him. So... And he just wants you to know how proud he is of you. You've come a long way. That's what he's making me feel. I know that we've talked privately in conversations that you suffer from anxiety like a lot of Americans out there do. And just so all the listeners know, me and David have talked extensively, and coming onto the show, he was very nervous, which I can't blame him. I was nervous the first couple of times. Heck, I still get nervous before the show. But I think I talked him down a little to where he could understand, and I got him to walk through the steps that I go through, and it made him feel better. And when we were talking earlier, my cat was going ballistic because of his energy. And, you know, if you listen regularly to the show, my cat is very intuitive when it comes to stuff like that. Jane calls her
our divine cat.
Divine
our
cat, that's what it is. So, and then we had talked throughout the day, and once David had calmed down, she calmed down and went and did her own thing by watching her cat TV, which is looking out the window. So, yeah, it's been an amazing experience. And I don't know, David, your father's energy has kind of stepped away, but I'm sure he'll be back to let me know what's going on.
Okay.
Or if he has another message for you. But, yeah, with all that being said, and, you know, I told you that we were going to talk about the anxiety because a lot of Americans, and I'm sure other countries, suffer from it. And it has to be said. And I also wanted to ask you, speaking of anxiety, like, how do you get through the readings with so much anxiety? Because I know I get it if I don't give a message.
Well, I actually, when I do readings, I don't feel anxious. I don't feel anxious all the time. You know, I just have certain triggers, and I love doing readings. And when I'm doing readings, I am connected, whatever you want to call it. And so I feel like the opposite of anxious. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me feel connected to larger energies, larger intelligences. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I don't have to worry about anxiety. And actually, the reason I was feeling anxious was having to figure out a new piece of software.
Oh yeah, that'll do it for sure.
Yeah, not really talking to you online. I don't really have social anxiety. I'm totally fine talking to you. But the idea of having to figure out this new piece of software, that was making me feel very anxious.
Yep.
But it's,
well, I think that's a lot of people aren't tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. But yeah, a lot of people feel that way with software. Even working at my full-time job and dealing with their stupid computers, I'm just like, I have to walk away for a minute. Even though we have all this wonderful, great technology, it's still a pain in the rear end.
Yeah. So, so Jennifer, do you also do energy healing work?
I do. I do energy healing work. I do chakra balancing. I do sound therapy. The treatment I've been offering, that's maybe for the last year and a half, I do a treatment that connects to releasing stress, releasing anxiety, fear, and anger. Yeah. And that's a really good to help people detach from the things that's what's holding them back, and they'll discover what it is and let go of it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of integrated energy therapy?
Maybe if you explain it. So David, I'm not necessarily completely, I'm American, born and raised here inside the States, but all my culture goes back to ancient Greek. So I may have learned things. Oh. I know I've learned things differently than American. So if you kind of tell me what it is, I'll recognize it. So I don't know what that is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's a form of energy healing. It's similar to Reiki. But instead of using the chakras, there are a series of points in the body, mm-hmm. in the energy field, where different types of emotional energy are held.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like with the meridians and gate points?
It's very similar to acupuncture, except you do it with your hands instead of needles. Yes. So there are different points. Like, say there's a point where you hold on to anger. And mm-hmm. if I put my hand on that point, I can feel whether it's blocked or whether you're carrying around a lot of this old energy that's keeping your energy blocked. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is actually release that energy with my hands, with the chakras in my hands, so that it's no longer in your energy field and it's no longer blocking the energy pathways. And then the energy can start to move again, just like in acupuncture, where you put the needle mm-hmm. in a certain point and then, you know, the chi starts to move again where it's been blocked. And I found it to be extremely powerful. It was supposedly channeled by a man named Stephen Thayer, I believe, in the 1980s. So it's pretty new. And he claims he channeled it from the angelic realm. So they do a lot of work with angels.
Yes.
And I used to not believe in angels. And,
really?
Quick funny story.
I got to hear this. That's curious in itself.
Have you ever heard of Marie Brennan, I think?
Not at the top of my head.
I think it's Marie Brennan. Well, anyway, when I first got into energy healing, there was this woman who had her own system named Brennan. I'm pretty sure it's Marie or Mary. Anyway, in her book, there was an illustration of someone on a massage table and her, you know, with her hands up, guiding energy into the person, and then all of these angels standing around the table, also, you know, shooting energy into the person. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, what is this BS? What is this nonsense? You know, come on, angels. You know, fast forward to several years later when I'm actually doing the energy work, and I look up one day and there they are. There's all the angels. And I'm like, holy crap, just like in the picture.
Yes.
And so from that point on, you know, I started, angels just became a reality. And, you know, they don't really look to me like with wings and halos and stuff. They're really more like non-physical beings. They don't have gender, although sometimes they feel more female or male. But their task is really just to help people on a spiritual level. That's what they've told me anyway.
I had, speaking of angels, I've had two deep encounters with angels. And my last one was at my not long ago near-death experience moment. And if you would get a glass of water and drop one drop of dye in it, and if you'd watch how that would move, that's how I saw the angels, like an essence.
Hang on one second. June Bug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just okay. Listening.
All right, hang on. All right, hang on. We'll bring you in a sec. I just want to make sure we connected.
No problem. I'm just listening.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue, Jen.
I saw a group of them in that form of essence. There was no wings, there was no face, there was no feet, but it was an essence. And that's how they moved it. As if you'd get a drop, if you'd put a drop of dye in a clean glass of water and you'd watch it move. That's how it moves. And I have seen angels. I had an incredible dream where God revealed his angels to me, an army of angels, just a legion of angels holding hands, arm in arm. And they all had an instrument, the round trumpet inside their hands, holding it.
Wow.
And in my dream, they was waiting to come inside. There was waiting to come inside the hospital to save the man that needs saving. Hmm. But they could not come in until he asked for his forgiveness from God.
Yeah.
And in that moment, after when I woke up, I made a phone call to I know who was in the hospital, and I'm like, there they are. They're waiting to come in. So I told the story. His wife took him. He'd done a forgiveness prayer on his way into surgery, doing brain surgery. And on his way, as he rolled in, his niece came in from nowhere, ran up to him, opened his hand, put a little angel in it.
Wow.
And then he went to surgery and got well.
Talk about synchronicity.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome dream. You know, they usually don't have faces when I see them either. You know, sometimes they don't even seem to have a human form at all. I just see them in all different types of shapes and sizes and what have you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Angels always leave us reminders behind when they visit us. Coins and feathers in places that make no sense.
Coins under your pillow?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And one other thing that I thought of while you were telling me your story is that you were saying he had to ask for, he had to do a prayer for forgiveness. What I have found with people is that the angels will not help you unless you ask them.
Yes.
You have to ask them. Otherwise, they're just going to be hanging around waiting. And so many people, you know, when I'm working on them on the table and I see the angels, and I'm like, are you aware that you have guardian angels? And they're like, yeah, but I can't hear them. And I said, well, you have to, you know, have to ask them to talk to you. You have to ask them questions and then just listen and you'll hear it. So,
yes, amen. They can't intervene until we ask, unless it's life or death. Very, very true.
Yeah.
Good disclaimer there. Unless it's life or death, because I was about to jump in there with a story that you all know about me. And I didn't ask for any help. They were there, and they just told me to wait at that green light. Had I gone, the tractor trailer that ran his red light around the blind corner would have killed me.
Wow.
All right, listen, we have a caller on the phone, and this caller has a question for you, David.
Okay. Great.
I have a question. Okay, cool. I will make one up.
Well, you wanted a reading or something, right? You had something on your mind?
Yeah. A relationship stuff now because everything else is cool.
All right.
Okay. Wait, Junebug, I got to ask you.
Thank you, Jen.
I got to ask you, did you ever find out what the bow meant?
What the what meant?
The bow. Remember the last time you called in? I told you, I believe
it was... Oh, the bow and my dog?
No, you said a pink ribbon.
A pink ribbon, okay. I knew it was something.
Oh, yeah, that's on my cup. It's the breast survivor awareness. Breast cancer, and I've got a mass in my breast. But it's okay.
Ah, and what did I say when you called in that time?
What was my name?
No, what did I say when you mentioned pink ribbon and everybody was running around? I said, yes, I did.
You have a mammogram.
I did.
Yep, and I did.
All right, good.
Awesome.
All right, I'm looking
glad
for
everything
love.
Worked out.
Okay.
And I'm serious. This person, what's his name that's on there that I'm
talking
to?
David is our guest. David.
Hello.
David, it's nice to meet you. My actual name is Marcy.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi.
What can I tell you? What do you want to know?
Everything else seems to be going good, but I'm just wondering about love. Relationship love. I've got all the other love.
So you don't have someone in your life right now?
Nope.
And you're wondering when someone will show up?
I've been working on myself on a spiritual journey.
That's good.
And I'm feeling ready.
Okay, so you want to know if there's someone on the horizon?
Yeah.
That's a pretty common question I get.
I know, it's so cliche, but I mean, it's about fine. The only thing that's missing in my life, you know?
There's no bad questions. I mean, if it's important to you, then it's important, you know? It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, give me 2 seconds to shuffle the cards here.
And while he's shuffling the cards, I'll tell you that just like this is a common question, so is hunger. But when it's your own hunger, you just want a sandwich.
Right.
No kidding, and I'm hungry right now. I'm going to have tacos.
Oh, I can't go wrong with a good taco.
Heck, I'll be starving.
I'm making tacos. Yeah.
Give me your address. I'll be there in about a week.
In about a week. So you're not in Tennessee?
No, ma'am. I am in New Jersey.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Well, you can fly over, you know. I
don't
can say
my arms would get tired.
All right, we got some wings. I have wings.
Hopefully, the
I have angels all around me.
All right, David. David has no doubt shuffled the cards.
I'll be with you in one sec.
All right.
I'm going to lay out some cards now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we send a lot of positive energy for you, Doombug.
I think so.
David, before we finish, I got to have one card from you. I'm excited, if I can.
Shoot.
Like you said, you've been in a period where you're working on yourself. You're not really thinking about being in a relationship. And
exactly.
Since it's upside down now, you know, it's kind of time for you to seek out a partner. Since it's a major arcana, this is kind of a big deal for you. It's something that you need to do to grow spiritually or to learn something about yourself. I'm guessing that you probably thought about past relationships and thought about, what you wanted, what you did want, what you didn't want, what you didn't want to happen again, like it happened in the past. Yeah,
exactly.
I only pulled 3 cards. The card in the middle is the 6 of Wands. And to me, this is very positive because this shows me that you feel better about yourself now than maybe you've ever felt in your life or since you were a child.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah. So you're at a turning point in your life right now, where you've worked on yourself. You've done really good work on yourself. You like yourself a lot more, and you're probably going to attract more positive men than in the past because you feel more positive about yourself. And then the final card is the Nine of Pentacles. And this tells me that, there's no blockages to finding somebody right now. The powers that be have created a clear pathway for you to attract somebody into your life, but it's not telling me specifically like when or what the guy would be like, because very often I'll do this kind of a reading and then a court card will appear, like a king or a knight or something. And I'll be like, oh, there's your man. And then they'll have a couple cards around them that kind of describe what the man is like. Let me just pull another card here and see if I can see anything else here. I don't want you to leave empty-handed.
Oh, my goodness. I've got six hummingbirds right outside my door on the hummingbird feeder.
Is there a white butterfly out there too?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good sign.
All right. Well, so like I said, I don't see a man specifically in the real near future, but you are in a really good place to meet somebody because, as I said, you've worked on yourself. You've cleared a lot of junk away. You like yourself a lot better, so you'll attract a man who will treat you the way you now treat yourself. And I know that's I know that's kind of like you could hear this from other people too. It's not like this like, oh, how did we know that? But
it has a different meaning to me now because I'm different, I've grown a whole lot and I want someone that deserves to be with
me.
Yep.
So, like I said, you probably didn't really need a tarot reading to know that. So I'm sorry I couldn't come up with anything better for you. But that's telling me.
Great.
Yeah. I think it fits perfect. So for all our listeners to know, here on Para X, Junebug has been on a spiritual journey. And I have been her guide for the last little over 6 weeks now or more. And Junebug has made some incredible breakthroughs in her life, and David just kind of like confirmed everything.
Oh, so it was like a confirmation.
Amen.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah, sometimes it's just a confirmation of what you already know, but you're not really sure. And then I just tell
you. Yeah, I was curious because everybody is different. I mean, I know what Jennifer's told me, and I truly believe it and feel it, and I'm manifesting all of it. And I just thought a different, I wanted to see what else came up,
Sure. Well, you got confirmation of what you've been doing. So,
and I appreciate
it.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to add my 2 cents real quick, and then we need to take a short break. So Junebug, hang in there with me. My 2 cents to you is, pick them cautiously. Make a list of what you really want and what you don't want. And make sure that you send that out to the universe.
I turned 3 of them down today.
Woohoo! Amen, sister. Because. But anyway, we need to take this commercial break before we get in trouble by our station. So take it away, Shock.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Don't touch that browser. Psychic Little T and Nashville's astrologer Jennifer Green will be right back after these important messages.
Sometimes good intentions aren't good enough, and we need a little help to make it through the workday. Some people pray. Others put their noses to the grindstone. But now, you can take a different path and resolve workplace issues in a magical way. From the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series, Workplace Spells, Everyday Magic on the Job, by leading author Marla Brooks. This easy-to-follow magical spellbook will help you get past those pesky job-related hurdles. Whether you're new to the craft or a seasoned practitioner, you can make magic happen. Workplace Spells, Everyday Magic on the Job by Marla Brooks would make a great gift. Ask for it at your local bookstore or order online through schifferbooks.com, Barnes & Noble, or amazon.com. Workplace Spells, Everyday Magic on the Job by Marla Brooks. Order your copy today. It's double the cauldron, double the fun. Pararex brings you back-to-back hours of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. First, at 8 p.m., Pararex digs into the vault to bring you an encore edition of Stirring the Cauldron. That's 10 years worth of amazing guests, interesting subjects, and all the fun from your favorite show. Then at 9 p.m., Pararex presents an all-new hour of Stirring the Cauldron as Marla explores the paranormal realm with brand new topics and all-new guests. It's double the cauldron, double the fun, as Pararex presents back-to-back hours of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. And it all begins 8 p.m. Thursday, right here on the Pararex Radio Network.
And there's lots of cauldron stirring tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Archive Podcast. Jason Miller talks about strategic sorcery. And at 9 p.m. on the live show, they're going to be tripping on legends with Christopher Balzano. That's www.pararexradionetwork.com. Keep it here.
Rhett! Rhett! Where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View. Back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Pararex Radio Network.
Y'all know Bruce Tango, right? Well, now he's got his very own website, www.brucetango.com. They said it couldn't be done, but Bruce got it done anyway. Well, with the help of Ed Norton and a little help from our own Marla Brooks, who was trained by Ed Norton. Anyway, it's done. It's up and running. www.brucetango.com. Go there. Like it. Tell your friends. You'll be posting information about upcoming events, personal appearances, and the locations of great pizza. BruceTango.com. Go there now. Yeah, go there and check out his website and check out Legends Fest. It's building and growing as I speak. The next guest star that's going to be there is Allison Arngrim. Now, you may not remember the name, per se, but if you ever watched Little House on the Prairie, she was one of the stars on that show. Go to brucetango.com and check it out.
Johnny, you've been sitting by that radio all day.
Not now, Trixie. Can't you see I'm busy?
Yeah, I see you ain't paying any attention to me.
Oh, I'm paying attention, all right. Paying attention to you whining while I've been waiting for Rock with the Shock to start.
Rock with the Shock? What's that got that I ain't got?
What's it got? Rock with the Shock has lots and lots of oldies.
Who needs oldies? Your mother pops in all the time, and you don't get much older than that.
Hey, leave my sainted mother out of this, or I'm gonna...
Well, fine, Johnny. When's it come on? When's it start? What time does it come on, huh, Johnny, huh?
Trixie, right now I'm only trying to figure out when it's gonna end.
What, Johnny? The show?
You're whining, Trixie. You're whining.
Rock with the Shock, 24 hours a day, every day, with a live broadcast every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Rock with a Shock Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to Journey into the Light, Chapter 2, with your host, Psychic Little T, and Nashville's astrologer, Jennifer Green.
And don't forget our wonderful guest.
Well, that's David. Your job. That's your job.
I'm still here. Were...
We have the best commercials in the world here on Para X.
Yeah, those are really something.
My dad does most of them. But anyway...
Well, I know, no. If you're gonna give me credit for, like, if you're gonna give me credit for the one, for the radio, was it "Going with the Wind" and Trixie and Johnny? They would not be possible without the talents of Marla Brooks, who does the female voices. She is tremendous.
I have to give out a shout out to Marla, and I see Bruce Tango is in the chat room. Hey, Bruce. And I think it's Cece. Sorry, the writing's too small.
Hi, you guys in the chat room.
Yeah, so if you guys want to come over and ask a question, come to paraxnetwork.com, and you can come in and ask a question if you don't want to call in. Or you can call our wonderful number at 267-436-4876. So let's get back to our guest.
Hello, David.
Hello over there. No.
Hey, David, I have a question for you. You had mentioned one of the things that got you into this was your experiences with your past life memories. How do you address the theory, which is one that I hold to, that just like a person inherits height, weight, body structure, blue eyes, the ability to play the piano or guitar, musical instrument, or the ability to paint, all these are inherited talents that we've inherited from our ancestors. Why is it not possible that people don't have past lives? Because I don't subscribe to that theory. However, I do subscribe very strongly to the fact that you've inherited memories from your ancestors. And quite possibly you had a number of ancestors in your ancestry chain that did this, had this ability, and passed on these bits of memories to you, and that's where they're coming from.
The ancestral memory theory?
That's all right, you shortened it up, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's certainly possible. I mean... The things that I believe about all these different esoteric subjects are really based on my own experiences with people, and also just what seems to make the most sense to me. But like, my beliefs are really provisional. If you come along with something that makes more sense to me, then I'll probably, you know, switch over to your belief or your explanation. Yeah.
No, I mean, I had one particular dream that, and this was years ago, I was in the middle of some kind of an Indian attack in I would say late 1700s, early 1800s. And the last thing I remembered was as an Indian warrior came up alongside of me and slammed me upside the head with a stone tomahawk, and everything went black.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I learned years later that I had an ancestor who was massacred in an Indian attack.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like that.
Okay.
So that's what convinced me, well, okay, I have inherited memory. I just wanted to throw that out.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's totally possible. I mean, it's possible that could exist alongside the way I see it is when... A person isn't, well, first of all, I believe in reincarnation. Again, just because of all the options of what happens to you after you die, to me, that seems the most logical. And also from my experience working with hypnosis for many, many years, I find a lot of people do have past memories or past life memories. But what happens is the soul incarnates into a body, into a lifetime, and if there are traumas, if there are, you know, bad things that happen to them, these things kind of get stuck in the energy field, or they make holes in the energy field, or they just damage the energy field in some way. And if that thing is not resolved in some way before the person dies, the energy or the essence of that person will go to wherever they go and then will come back as, you know, another human being, but they will still be carrying that wound, that energetic wound. And this is what I see when I work on people. I see where their energy fields are torn, or, you know, sometimes I do a shamanic thing where I'll see an object in them, like a knife or a sword, or sometimes I'll see like slimy animals, like eels and things swimming around in them. And mm-hmm. The people usually have some kind of illness. Like, for example, I was working on this woman and I saw a stone that was sort of kidney shaped, like a kidney bean.
Mm-hmm.
And it was black and it was cracked and red stuff was oozing out of it. So I told the woman what I saw and she told me that she had, you know, kidney disease right where I was working. So that kind of thing has happened to me so many times that the idea that you carry unresolved energetic trauma from lifetime to lifetime to me seems, you know, like it's an accurate thing. But the ancestral memory thing could also be accurate. I mean, you could have both things happening at the same time. What I care about is what works. If doing the past life regression or doing the energy mm-hmm. work helps the person to heal, then that's all I really care about. I'm not like out to convince anybody that this theory is correct and that theory is incorrect. I mean, we really don't know for sure, you know, in our physical bodies. We don't know how real any of this is. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I just use what works. And I found that works really well. But I also agree with you that ancestral memory is totally logical also.
Mm-hmm.
So does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
So I have a question. A couple years ago, my appendix had exploded and literally almost killed me. How long does that energy stay around in the body if you don't do any healing, per se, like sound healing or your healing?
Well, do you feel like it's still bothering you?
No, I was just wondering because somebody had asked me one time about the pain. It's probably a year after the occurrence, and I didn't think nothing of it, and I was just wondering, that was the question that just popped up. You know, I was kind of hoping that the energy dissipated eventually
Do you have pain now?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you're okay then.
Oh, awesome.
As far as I know, I mean, it's not broke, don't fix it, you know?
I've been broken enough.
Yeah. I mean, if a person is still having problems, then, you know, definitely do some healing work. But if you're feeling okay, then you're healed, you know?
Yeah.
Probably, unless there's something going on that you're not aware of. But
okay.
I would have to, like, get you on the table and, you know, feel around in that area energetically to see if there was still something residual in there.
Okay.
And then, you know, hopefully if there was, I could get rid of it or, you know, help
hey,
it.
Hey, David, how about self-healing? Have you ever tried to do Reiki on yourself?
Oh, yeah. I've done, oh, my God. Well, I've spent my whole life healing myself since mm-hmm. I was, you know, in my mm-hmm. early 20s. It's like an ongoing.
It never stops.
Yeah, it never stops.
Never stops. Yep. Yeah.
I don't believe, I believe you can only, first of all, I don't even believe that I heal people. I believe I help them to heal themselves. And I don't believe, I think that you can only help people to heal to the degree that you've healed yourself. Because if you're carrying around a lot of baggage, you're blocked and you're not going to be able to channel a large amount of clear energy into that person. And on an intellectual level, you're not going to really be able to see them objectively if you have your own stuff in the way that you're projecting onto them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use a lot of psychology, too. It's something I really should have gone to school and become a psychotherapist, but I was stupid and thought I could support myself as an artist.
Ah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, I know that line. I went to commercial art and advertising school, graduated first in my class, and I've never made a nickel at it.
There you go. Yeah.
People look at your oil paintings and they go, oh, my God, that's beautiful. What do you, $5? Oh, that's, really?
Yeah.
Rembrandt went through the same thing, so I, you know.
You got to have the right palette. You got to know what you like.
Well,
you love art, you love art, all of it.
Yeah. I mean, my work is just too idiosyncratic to really be marketable. And I've never really been a good marketer of myself. So, you know. But you know what? A woman, a tarot reader, told me a long time ago before I started doing any of this stuff. Like, I was reading tarot, but I wasn't getting paid for it. And I used to go to this woman who was really good. And she read tarot. And she just asked for a donation. She was one of those old time people who believe that it's wrong to ask money for it. And she told me that in the future, people would be paying me for doing readings. And I was like, what? Like, I just couldn't imagine it would happen, you know? But I kept doing readings and, you know, I would go to these art shows trying to sell my work, and I'd bring my tarot cards, and I'd say, I'd tell people, hey, if you want a reading, just have a seat. I'll do a reading for you. And what happened was people just started handing me money all of a sudden because they liked the readings. And then I started charging, and then people started giving me more than what I asked for. So I'm like, oh, okay, time to raise my prices. So it's kind of like it chose me. I didn't really choose it.
Yeah, that's what happened. But I'm finding that there's so many different readers, whether it's mediums, tarot card readers, and, you know, of course you have one bad apple and it ruins it for the rest of us. We're not all like that. We're not all, trust me, if I was out there trying to make $1 million doing this, I'm in the wrong business. I do it because I like helping people, and I try to tell people this all the time.
That's exactly, that could have come out of my mouth. Yeah.
And I remind people when they say that, because I am from Nashville, still from Nashville, so it was very, very taboo. I'm 8 generations in it, so it's all I know. So I remind people, they're like, well, there's like that's a bad psychic, whatever. I said, it's as equal as every other career in the world. There's good and bad in everything, down to parents. There's good moms, bad moms, good teachers, bad doctors. It's just like everything else. And I remind them, if you cannot be comfortable with the person who's going to help you to read for you, then you probably shouldn't be there. You got to be comfortable. You'll know just like in a few seconds, your instinct tells you.
I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we say all the time. Make sure that you listen to your instincts. They will never lie to you.
Yep. Gut instinct is never wrong.
So one last quick question for you, David. Okay. Do you believe in aliens?
Good question.
We had a show a couple weeks ago, and we've been pondering this for the last couple. I thought I'd throw it out there to you.
Dum, dum, dum.
I don't believe or not believe. I mean, there's something going on, obviously. I don't believe that all of these people are deluded. I mean, they're having some kind of an experience. I believe that. What that experience is, I really don't know. It could be people from other planets. It could be something, people from another dimension. It could be the externalization of some sort of mass shift in consciousness, which is what Carl Jung believed about UFOs.
Yeah, but you can't track that on track a shift in consciousness on radar.
What's that?
You cannot track a shift in consciousness on radar.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
I mean, what bothers me is, and I've had experiences where I've seen things that I couldn't explain. I don't know whether they're from extraterrestrial planets or whether they're from here on Earth, technology that we have or not. All I know is that that's tracking on radar at, you know, traveling a distance of 600 miles in 18 seconds is beyond any capability that we have. And I was in the Air Force. I know this to be true. And to explain that away as saying, well, it was a weather balloon powered by swamp gas is a load of crap.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe it was weather balloons. So.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you practice or have you ever practiced? And if so, have you succeeded in what they call remote viewing?
No, not per se, but I have done a lot of astral projection and lucid dreaming, which are very similar. Astral projection is when you leave your body and you're in your astral body and you're flying around the astral plane. And sometimes it's very much like being in the waking world. Just things are slightly off here and there. And that's what people who do remote viewing do, is they leave their body, they go into their astral body, and they know how to stay very close to the earth plane. And then they go somewhere and they look at stuff, and then they bring back the information.
Well, when you do astral projection, are you aware? Do you see the silver thread?
No, you know, I've never seen the silver cord ever. And I think that's something that they made up to try to discourage people from doing it.
Oh, absolutely. I can believe that.
Yeah, I've never seen a cord. I don't believe
that. Connect to your Wi-Fi network.
As long as your body is alive, I don't believe that your astral body can become detached from it. I think
Alexa is trying to astral project into our conversation.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I have experienced astral projection once, and I've also experienced a lucid dream once.
Okay.
I've never been able to do it again.
You have to really put a lot of energy into it. That's how it happened to me. The first time it happened was spontaneous, and then I wanted to do it again, but it didn't work. So, you know, I did a lot of research on different techniques for doing it. And after about a month of trying, I was able to do it. And then after that, I could do it pretty much whenever I wanted, as long as I wasn't, like, very tired physically. If I was well-rested, I could always leave my body.
Unfortunately, the hour has just flown by.
Yeah.
But I do see the silver cord, and it's time to wrap up.
Okay.
Could you give us your website?
It's www.alchemicalwedding. That's the word chemical and the word wedding, all in one word, alchemicalwedding.com. And if you put /astrology after that, you will see my page on astrology and tarot. If you put /healing after it, you will see my page on integrated energy therapy and hypnotherapy. And if you leave the slash off, you'll see my artwork, I just want to warn people. If you are upset or offended by things like nudity or the depictions of like dark psychological states of mind, then you probably shouldn't look at it, because a lot of my work is very psychological. It's cathartic. It's me working my stuff out. It's not shocking for the sake of being shocking, but some people might find it disturbing. So I'm just warning you.
Okay.
But it's all for the good. I mean, I'm not trying to hurt anybody or upset anybody, but you never know. So a warning.
Thank you so much for being our guest. When we end the program, don't hang up yet. We can say our formal good, you know, ladies, Laters. Quickly give a number. Phone number.
215.
No, 415.
Hello?
Not you. We're too late. We're out of time. That's it. That's all the time we've got for. Tune in next week, and we'll have another exciting show. Thanks for listening. Okay. Tune in again next week from 7 till 8 p.m. Eastern for another exciting and unpredictable episode of Journey into the Light, Chapter 2, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.